ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय यदा च पार्ता प्रहिता सभायम् जगद्गुरुर्यानि जगदा कृष्णः नतानि पुंसम् अमृतयनानि राजोरुमेने कत्त पुण्यलेशः यदा च पार्ता प्रहिता सभायम् जगद्गुरुर्यानि जगाद कृष्णः नतानि पुंसम् अमृतायनानि राजोरुमेने कत्त पुण्यलेशः By Srila Prabhupada, please repeat. Yada, when, cha, also, parta prahita, being advised by Arjuna, sabhayam, the assembly, jagadguru, of the teacher of the world, yani, dos. Jagada went. Krishna, Lord Krishna, na never. Tani, such words, pumsam, of all men of sense, amrita ayanani, as good as nectar, Raja, the king, Dhritarashtra or Duryodhan? Uru, very important. Mene, did consider. Chata, dwindling. Punyaleshaha, fragment of pious acts. Translation. Lord Krishna was sent by Arjuna into the assembly as the spiritual master of the whole world. And although his words were heard by some like Bhishma as pure nectar, it was not so for others who were completely bereft of the last farthing of past pious works. The king, Dhritarashtra or Duryodhan, did not take the words of Lord Krishna very seriously. Purport. Lord Krishna, who is the spiritual master of the entire universe, accepted the duty of a messenger and, deputed by Arjuna, went to the assembly of King Dhritarashtra on a peace mission. Krishna is everyone's Lord, yet because he was the transcendental friend of Arjuna, he gladly accepted the role of messenger, exactly like an ordinary friend. That is the beauty of the Lord's behavior with his pure devotees. He reached the assembly and spoke about peace, and the message was relished by Bhishma and other great leaders because it was spoken by the Lord himself. But due to the exhaustion of the pious results of their past deeds, Duryodhan, or his father, Dhritarashtra, did not take the message very seriously. That is the way of persons who have no credit of pious deeds. By past pious deeds, one may become the king of a country, but because the results of the pious acts of Duryodhana and company were dwindling, it became evident from their actions that they were sure to lose the kingdom to the Pandavas. The message of Godhead is always like nectar to the devotees, but it is just the opposite to the non-devotees. Sugar candy is always sweet to a healthy man, but it tastes very bitter to a person suffering from jaundice. Mukam karoti vachalam pankum langayate girim yat kripatam aham bande shi gurum dinataranam. So, actually there are three types of pious activities. Here it is mentioned that Duryodhana's pious activities were diminishing, and that's why he was going to lose his kingdom and everything. And the three pious activities are Bhogommukhi Sukriti, Mokshommukhi Sukriti, and Bhaktimmukhi Sukriti. Bhogommukhi Sukriti means pious activities that brings material enjoyment. Mokshommukhi Sukriti means pious activities that can give us impersonal liberation. And Bhaktimmukhi Sukriti means pious activity that awakens devotion, devotional service. And what are those pious activities? For example, if somebody give charity to the poor, open an hospital, mundane school, make some road, some well, things like that. That's those type of material activity, pious material activity, that bring material happiness in the next life or this life. Mokshommukhi Sukriti, pious activity that bring impersonal liberation, are meditation on the impersonal Brahman, fasting, meditation, controlling the mind, the senses with that purpose, that brings impersonal liberation. And Bhaktimmukhi Sukriti means pious activity that brings bhakti or devotional service. And what are those pious activities? Not any ordinary pious activities. They are related directly to bhakti. For example, somebody just come to the temple and put some little water on the tulsi plant. So that's spiritual pious, devotional pious activity. Or he met a devotee in the street and buy a book, give some donation. That's devotional pious activity. Like that. There are some stories in relation to that also. That once a thief, in the middle of the night, he was looking for a place to sleep. And he saw a temple in the middle of the night and went there, but the door was locked. So he just took his chadar, cleansed the dust from the entrance of the temple and lied down there. But the Lord, he took that as a service. He thought, oh, this man cleaned the entrance of my temple. Although wasn't that his intention. But the Lord is so eager that all conditioned soul come back to him. He doesn't lose any opportunity to engage anyone in his service, even unnoticingly. That's called Agyata Sukriti. So this man, next life, became the pujari of that temple, and he became devotee of the Lord and went back home, back to Godhead. There is another similar story with a pigeon. A pigeon was flying around the temple, and one hunter pierced her with an arrow. And before she died, she walked around the temple one time. She did parikrama around the temple one time and then died. And then next life became a devotee. Due to that, it's devotional service, became human being, became devotee, yeah. Went back home, back to God. And there are so many instances like that. But here, Duryodhana's pious activities are definitely material, not spiritual. And those were diminishing. Unless somebody have pious activity, he can't become a king or a prime minister or any high post like that. He have to have some pious activities from the past to achieve such high post. But if it is misused, then next life, who knows what will happen? We'll lose everything. And that was going what to happen to Duryodhana. But the interesting thing here, the very important thing here is that Lord Krishna, who is the spiritual master of the whole universe, he was acting as a messenger to his devotee, the Pandavas. Specifically, Arjuna is mentioned here. That Arjuna, due to his loving friendship with the Lord, he asked the Lord, please be our messenger. And out of love, the Lord accepted to do like that. He didn't have to do it. He's the Lord of everyone. He's the master of everyone. And why would Arjuna ask Krishna to do like that? I mean, he was aware that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. How can you ask the Lord to do some service for me? The thing is, when there is a very strong, intimate, loving affection, you forget that the Lord is the Supreme. You just fix your mind on the friendship relationship. Like in the Brijavasis, they don't think Krishna is God. They think Krishna is or hero or village boy. And we have so many friends, but he's our best friend. Like that. So the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is that we have to understand very clearly, to be truly convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And then when we achieve perfection in devotional service, we have to forget that forever. That's the perfection. Prabhupada once said that in the spiritual world, the devotees who think Krishna is the Supreme Lord, they are not first-class devotees. Only those who think that he is not the Supreme Lord, those are the first-class devotees in the spiritual world. So, when Krishna accepted that mission, peace mission, he went on peace mission. Of course, he knew the outcome. He knew everything. He knows past, present, future. But still, to show the whole world how his devotees, the Pandavas, were not greedy like Duryodhana and company, and they were detached. They were prepared to accept only 5 small villages and to avoid war. They were willing to do that. So to show the whole world that the cause of this Kurukshetra war wasn't the Pandavas, but Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, Krishna went there. Of course, Duryodhana tried to invite Krishna, you know, to have nice food with him and nice palace, you know, of Dushasana, his brother, best palace was there. But Krishna declined the invitation, he said. Somebody accept somebody invitation for food if there is love or affection between the two persons, or if somebody is in distress. So I'm neither in distress nor do you please me. So why should I accept your invitation? I would rather stay at Vidura's home. He is my dear devotee. So Krishna stay at Vidura's home. And Vidura's wife was cooking for Krishna. And Vidura, out of fatherly affection, he was feeding the Lord with his own hand. And Krishna was accepting this loving dealings. And when after the meal finished, the sweet was just a banana. So Vidura peeled the banana, was going to give it to Krishna, but he was so overwhelmed with loving affection for the Lord that instead of giving the banana, he was giving the peel to Krishna to eat. And because what offered was so much love by his devotee, Krishna ate the peel, the banana peel. So that is the most important thing here, that Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotees. And that's the only thing can conquer Krishna, not of his devotees. And that's the only thing can conquer Krishna, nothing else. So, so destiny has his way, and Jai Shishirana Madhav ki Jai Tashaki ki Jai. So, actually, when Krishna spoke in the assembly of the Kurus, even Dhritarashtra was moved, And he agreed that Krishna's words were true and were for the benefit of his sons and for everyone. But he lamented that, please convince my son, my sinful son, you know, my greedy son, convince him to stop this war. Of course, when Krishna tried to do that, but Duryodhana was fixed in his determination not to give even a pinch of land to the Pandavas. They have to fight for it. He was so proud and greedy. We know proud brings downfall. There is one story in the Mahabharata. One king who took the position of Indradev. What was the name? What was his name? That king? Nahusha. Thank you. So Nahusha was a great pious king, very religious king. But Indra was having some trouble because he killed Vritrasura. I have to hide somewhere from the sinful reaction personified. So Nahusha took his position. But as soon as he took his position and got so much power and opulence, all mystic powers of the demigods were granted to him, so he became proud. And he started to look at Indra's wife, Sachi, with lusty eyes. Saying, I'm now Indra, she must become my wife. And he proposed to her. Of course, she's a chaste lady, she declined. But she was insisting every day on her to accept him. And she went to take advice from one Brahmin, and he advised her, do like this. So, next time he proposed to her, she told him, yes, okay, you can come to my home, but with one condition. You must come in a palanquin carried by pure Brahmins. That's the only way I can accept. Oh, that's not a big problem. I am Indra. All Brahmins under my command, they will definitely accept. So he went to her home, carried away by all the sages and Brahmins on a palanquin. And being very lusty, he was hurrying them up. And he kicked with his foot one of the sages. You know? And then that was it for him. The sages immediately cursed him. You are envious like a snake, then you become a snake. Immediately he fell down. Immediately. He fell to this earth planet and became a big, powerful snake. But before he fell, he asked mercy, you know, forgiveness from the sages. So the sages say, okay, two things you will have. One thing is, you will very easily find your food. You will overcome anybody's strain, and you will capture and you will eat every day. You will have no problem with that. And next thing, you will be free only when you hear discourses on the absolute truth from a sadhu or a saintly person. That's the only way you can be free from this curse. So, in the Mahabharata, it is explained that once when the Pandavas were in exile, Bhima was wandering around looking for roots to eat and fruits, whatever he could find. And this was actually a yellow snake with black spots on her body. That was Nahusha. So as soon as he saw Bhima, he said, oh, this is a very, you know, big man. I will have today a good lunch. So he captured Bhima. Of course, Bhima is very strong, and he tried to free himself, but he could not, because of the blessing of the sages that he could overpower anyone who will capture. Bhima could not release himself. So Krishna, you know, he surrendered to Krishna. Bhima said, whatever my destiny is, if my destiny is to die today, let it be so, you know. Let me just fix my mind on Krishna. But then Yudhishthira tried to see omens everywhere. Bad omens, you know. And where is Bhima? So he went to search for Bhima and found him encircled by this big, huge snake. So Yudhishthira asked the snake to release his brother. And the snake told him, only if you can answer my questions about the absolute truth. And in this way, he asked all the questions and received the best answers. And after the discourse was finished, he regained his celestial body as Nahusha and went back to the celestial world. So it was a good ending for him after all. But see how the danger of pride, you know. If somebody is a humble devotee, he will never fall down. Because he will offer respect to everyone. He will not try to find faults in everyone, only in himself. So with that humble mentality, he will never commit offense. And he will never fall down. If he keep himself like that. But as soon as pride comes due to high position or power or whatever, then there is danger there. Immediately there is danger that I start to look down at everyone and find faults with this and that. And then fall down can happen. So we have to be very careful about this. This is a very important lesson here. So anyway, Duryodhan actually was planning to capture Krishna. He told his friend Karna, if we capture Krishna, then the Pandavas will have no more power. And we can just overcome Krishna. He didn't came with soldiers. He came just by himself. And there's no problem. So they tried to do that. Everybody chastised Duryodhan. Bhishma, his mother, Gandhari, and Drona, even Dronacharya also. Dhritarashtra's own father chastised him. Actually, Krishna suggested, since you can't control him by ordering him not to do this, then just arrest him and put him in prison. But Dhritarashtra could not do that. He was too attached to his son. He remembered that when he was born, all the sages told him, get rid of the son. He will cause the destruction of the Kuru dynasty. All these omens indicate that. Accept our word. Just give him in charity to somebody else. Throw him away. But he was too attached. Try to understand Dhritarashtra's mentality. He was frustrated because although he was the elder son of the Kurus, because of incapacity of being blind, he has to give the post to his younger brother Pandu. See? So that frustration was always there with him. So he thought, my son is not blind like me. So why he can't be the king? But the problem is that Yudhishthir Maharaj was born first. When Gandhari heard about it, she was pregnant. She was so frustrated that Kunti had a son before her, that she struck her womb forcibly out of frustration. And then you know what happened. Vyasadev came and got 100 pieces, one more piece was there anyway. But the thing is, this frustration that Dhritarashtra had and his attachment, his affection for his son could not help him to make the right decision. Up until the right end, he could not do it. So see how material attachment sometimes make people, although they know it is wrong, they can't help it, but to do the right thing, the wrong thing, like Dhritarashtra. He was actually, when Duryodhana tried to capture Krishna, Krishna was laughing. And he showed his universal form right there in the assembly of the Kurus. All the great sages there, actually many sages came, Narad Muni, all great sages also came. They all were in ecstasy seeing the Virat Rupa of the Lord manifested there. Even Dhritarashtra, he prayed to the Lord, please give me the eyes to see your form. And Krishna granted him. So Dhritarashtra could see the universal form of the Lord. Just for that moment. And then he became blind again. So anyway, things were settled and Krishna has to leave. And the war was unavoidable. And the war happened. And you know what happened? Dhritarashtra lost all his sons. Bhima killed all of them. So after the Kurukshetra war, they came, you know, all the Pandavas came, you know, to speak to their uncle Dhritarashtra and try to pacify him. You know, he lost all his sons, you know. So Dhritarashtra said, "Oh, Bhima, are you here? Yes, come, I want to embrace you." Krishna made a sign to Bhima, "Don't go." Rather, they brought a statue of Bhima made of iron that Duryodhana used to practice, you know, mace fighting, you know, striking this statue, you know. So they brought it in front of Dhritarashtra, and behind was Bhima and said, "Yes, here I am, uncle." So Dhritarashtra embraced the statue, thinking it was Bhima, and with such strength that he broke the statue in half. He was so angry at Bhima. But then he started to cry and lament, "Oh, I lost all my son, and now I lost my nephew, you know, Bhima. Oh, I'm so sad." But then Bhima said, "No, uncle, I am here. I knew you was very angry at me, so I did like that." So now he embraced him really, you know, with affection. The anger was gone. So, but still, Dhritarashtra was very, very sorry. He was suffering, you know, because of the loss of his sons. So, Srila Vyasadev came. And then Dhritarashtra asked the question to Vyasadev. "Vyasadev, please tell me. You gave me the blessing to have 100 sons. Now I lost all of them. Why this happened to me? Please tell me, why this happened to me? Why I have to suffer like that?" And Vyasadev told him, "Well, this happened to you because in your past life you was a great king. But due to some bad karma, you contracted some very strange disease on your body, on your skin. And that was very, very hurting, was very miserable for you. And you was trying to find a cure for that. Consulting different Kaviraj, you know, doctors. Nobody could find the cure for this. But one very expert doctor, he told you that he knew the remedy for this. And he told you that to make a medicine, he needed the body of 100 swans to make the medicine. But he asked you, are you ready to pay the reaction for killing 100 swans? Because I'm not going to accept the reaction for that. I'm only going to prepare the medicine. But you are going to accept the reaction. If you are willing, then we can make it." He said, "Yes, I'm so desperate. I'm suffering so much. Do it." So, because you didn't suffer by ordering somebody to kill this 100 swans, now this 100 swans became your sons, and now you are suffering because of their death. See how the law of karma works? In past life, you didn't care to kill the 100 swans. Now they became your sons. Now you are suffering because of their death. So he was, you know, enlightened by this knowledge. I mean, we suffered only due to ignorance, nothing else. Once ignorance is removed by the mercy of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, then suffering, it may be there, but will not affect us as if we were completely in ignorance. Once know the reason of his suffering, then he knows the remedy to it. And the remedy is to take to devotional service. In the Brahma Samhita it is said, "Karmani nirdahati kintu ca bhakti bhajam." that only through devotional service the karma can be diminished or annihilated. No other way. There is no other way to do it. And of course, in this age of Kali, the best way to perform devotional service is chanting the holy name as inaugurated by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the Shastra it is said, Naham prakasho vaikunte yoginam hridayeshu va yatra gayanti mad bhakta tatra tishtami narada. O Narad, I am not there in Vaikuntha, nor I am in the heart of the yogis. Then Narada asks, where are you then, O Lord? Yatra gayanti mad bhakta tatra tishtami narada. I am there, Narad, where my devotees are singing my glories. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, of course, this is nectar for the devotees to hear and chant and remember the holy name, the pastimes of the Lord. But for the non-devotees, it is bitter. Like a neem leaf. Although neem leaf is good for your health, you know, for it help your digestion. But it is advised by Rupa Goswami, even if you have no taste for chanting the holy name, do it, accept it as a medicine to be cured from the disease of material attachments, material entanglement, material consciousness that keep us bound to this material existence. And the only way to break this rope of material entanglement is to take shelter wholeheartedly in the chanting of the holy name. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized three things, Jivedaya, Namaruchi, and Vaishnava Seva. Jivedaya means to show compassion for the jivas. And compassion means, real compassion means to give them the chance to engage in devotional service, to give them Krishna consciousness. That's real compassion and merit. Jivedaya, Namaruchi, to develop a taste for chanting the holy name. And Vaishnava Seva, the attitude of serving the Vaishnavas. And the Vaishnava has all good qualities. Titikshava karunika suridam sarvadehinam ajata shatravashanta sadhava sadhu bhushanam. He is tolerant and compassionate. Titikshava karunika. He is friend to everyone. Suridam sarvabhutanam. Ajata shatrava. He has no enemies. That's also a name given to Yudhishthir Maharaj. We read in previous verses, Ajata Shatru. Duryodhana was his enemy. Yes, Duryodhana had Yudhishthir as an enemy, but Yudhishthir didn't see him as an enemy. That's the difference. Somebody may treat us as an enemy, but we don't have to respond in the same way. And these are the ornaments of a sadhu. Once, a great devotee called Govinda, he was the nephew and disciple of Ramanujacharya. He was very nice sadhu, very nice devotee. So once all his godbrothers were praising him. Oh, Govinda, you have such good qualities. You are humble, you are tolerant, you are merciful. Like that, they were praising him. And to their amazement, Govinda said, yes, you are right. I actually have all those quad qualities. They became completely confused. I mean, they went to Ramanujacharya to tell him. Govinda became proud. We were praising him and he said, yes, it is true. I mean, when somebody praises us, we try to be humble. No, Prabhu, this is not true. Don't speak like that. Although internally you may say, oh, finally somebody, you know.
But at least internally we try to say, no, Prabhu, don't say like that. I'm fallen soul. But then Ramaniacharya called Govinda and asked him, what is this pride, Govinda? Vaishnava should not be proud. Why are you saying like that? Govinda answered, my dear Gurudev, of course I have no good qualities at all. If I do have any good qualities in me, it's only due to your mercy alone. And how can I deny that you gave me your mercy? So how can I say no? So this good qualities was given to me only by your mercy. And I'm accepting, by accepting them, I'm accepting that you gave me your mercy. So we have to understand, Vaishnava's mind is sometimes difficult to understand. We should not jog externally. We should, try to understand. So, we don't have much time. If anybody has one question, maybe. Anybody else? I'm doing the same as... Yes, Prabhu. Yes, of course. He also, of course, an instrument in Krishna Leela. Demons are also an instrument in Krishna Leela. They also bring out, Krishna's anger to protect his devotees. So they are also helping the Lord's Leela in some way or another. The same thing with Duryodhana, But he is an individual living entity. He has free will. He's misusing it. That some or other, of course, is under the influence of Mahamaya, not Yogamaya. Only pure devotees are under the influence of Yogamaya. Nobody else. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. What is the other person doing? I mean, the sun rises for everyone, but if somebody wants to keep himself in the shade, the sun is not guilty. Krishna has given his mercy to everyone, but those who accept or don't accept, of course, this happened without the desire of the person, just accidentally. That is good fortune. I mean, things happen. Otherwise, free will is not there. There is no free will. Everybody can move, do whatever they want. That's the freedom given. And somebody, if by chance this happened to him, that is his good fortune. It's not depend on, it's not Krishna controlling everybody's desires to move. Krishna is giving freedom for everyone to do as they like. So it's up to them if they want to get the mercy or not. Isn't? It seems like that person didn't make any endeavor, and just by chance, we say how the Lord is just, and it seems like just by chance this person. Yes, by chance. So chance is there, it's possible. And chance happens because there is free will, free movement. So, it depends on us, finally. I mean, Krishna is eager that everyone comes to him, but he's not going to force anyone to do it. Because what is the use? But if he see a little thing in somebody, a little spark, he will take advantage of it. It is said in Shastra, if one give one step toward Krishna, Krishna will give 10 steps toward us. So Krishna is more eager than us, but he is not going to force us. He will find some way or other. He do it through his devotees also. We have to go out and give the mercy to him. No, it wasn't forced. I mean, it's Agyata Sukriti. That's the nature of Agyata Sukriti. Agyata Sukriti means you do something devotional without knowing. So that's the good fortune of the person. I will tell you one real story that happened in the beginning of the movement in South America. One man, he was driving his car to the university. And there was one devotee, Hanuman Goswami. He was preaching to the student there. But he didn't know that most of them were Marxist, communist, you know, and he was preaching against atheism and Marxism, so they became angry. And a big argument went on between them. So much so that the devotee has to flee for his life. They wanted to hang him. So he was running, you know, like crazy, and like 100 people shouting, hang him, kill him, you know. And this man, this, you know, lawyer, his name was Bolivar, he saw that scene and he immediately reacted, saying, well, this man is in danger. His life is in... He stopped the car, opened the door and waved to the devotee to come. And the devotee jumped in the car and he saved his life. So this is Agyata Sukriti. He didn't know what he is a devotee, what he's doing. But because he did that, then he met Prabhupada later. He started to chant Hare Krishna on Japa. Prabhupada liked him. He asked nice questions to Prabhupada like that. See? So things happen. We don't know why. You know? It's not under our control. It's not everything we have to understand in a square way why these things happen. You know, free will is there and things happen. That's the nature of Agyata Sukriti. So, we have to accept like that. There's no other explanation. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bhai.